You know, I don't get up to the Art Museum in St. Louis very often, but I really enjoy it when I do. I enjoy going and seeing paintings and sculptures and all of these different things that human hands have somehow created that go beyond my ability to even conceptualize. Think about great musicians, too, how they can do things with their fingers on a piano or a guitar or a saxophone or anything else and create these incredible melodies and choruses, and how they can create the relationship between one note and another and do something amazing with years of practice and with an incredible gift in their mind and in their hands. It's fun to be in awe of someone else, of what someone else can do that you'll never be able to do, right? There's certain things that I just don't have the ability to do, and so it's a lot of fun for me to step back and look at those who do. This morning, we're talking about worship and prayer. We're talking about the bedrock of the spiritual disciplines that make up our faith. During our Wednesday night Bible study, we're going to be exploring spiritual disciplines through our book, The Walk, and our sermon series is going to be loosely based on that. So if you want to take this a little further and go a little deeper, and I'd encourage you to do that, I'd encourage you to be there on Wednesday night as we discuss this further. But worship and prayer, as I said, they are the foundation for the rest of our faith. They're not the only thing, but they are the foundation that everything else is built on. You know that if you build a house on a weak foundation, the house will crumble. If the foundation is big enough, the building can be big enough. If the foundation is too small, the building can't be any bigger. In fact, we discovered this in Puerto Rico when we did hurricane relief. We found a number of houses that had become damaged because over the years, people had added on top of their homes when the foundations weren't strong enough to support all that weight in a hurricane. So worship and prayer are the bedrock foundations of our faith, and the psalmist in Psalm 95 gives us a beautiful image of worship, one that views God the Creator in awe, one that steps back and says, wow, look what God has done. Psalm 93 through 99 make up what we call the royal psalms, and their role is to demonstrate to us the authority of God. They establish God as the king of humanity. Much of the struggle of early Judaism throughout the history of the Hebrews was who's in charge, right? Struggles with leadership, struggles with prophets, struggles with foreign military forces, struggles with slavery. There's always a struggle over who's in charge. Psalm 93 through 99 is a reminder that no matter who's in charge, God is in charge, right? Psalm 95 especially points to God as king and as the rightful king because of God's role in creation. That God is first and foremost, before God is anything else, God is our creator. God is a lot of things, God has many names, but first and foremost, God is our creator. God is who created us. And in worship, we step back and recognize the beauty of creation. In prayer, we step back and recognize our role as the created, as creations of God. During this Lenten season, we're going to explore some of the spiritual disciplines that help us in our faith journey. And this morning, I want to focus on prayer and worship. Lent is a natural time for us to examine our spiritual lives, to examine our identity as followers of Jesus. And that demands occasional examination and intervention. Are we, in fact, the Christians that we want to be? Is our life a reflection of the life that we want others to see? How are we connected to the source of our life and faith? So if we're going to spend the next 6 weeks of Lent examining our spiritual lives, then we've got to start with the foundation, with worship and prayer. All of our other spiritual disciplines will suffer if we don't get these right. Worship at its core is that emotion that's very much like admiring fine art. It's an awe-filled recognition of something greater than yourself. The psalmist captures this by attributing its lines of worship to the creator that it was worshiping, seeing God as creator above all else, worshiping God by believing in awe of everything God has created. One way we worship is just by being in awe of the world around us. Prayer, likewise, is the next step. Having recognized God as the creator of the universe, prayer is the component where we recognize our role. In worship, we acknowledge God as the creator. In prayer, we name ourselves as God's creation. Worship is important, but it's becoming less and less important in the hearts and minds of many of our fellow Americans. These numbers are constantly changing, and they're constantly going down, but the latest numbers from the end of last year from Pew Research are that among those who identify as Christian, so remember this is just among Christians in America, about 20% go to church. About 20% of Christians attend church regularly. That's down significantly even since the 90s, and that's down significantly since the 50s and 60s. Just 20% of people who identify as Christian. That's not 20% of the whole country. That's 20% of the people who identify as Christian attend church regularly. And there's a lot being made about this. There's a great deal of time being spent to explore this. You know this. You know that it's been a struggle for the church for a number of years now. It isn't new. The numbers got here from a very, very long decline that was spanning many, many years. In fact, the last year that Christianity actually grew in terms of population, part of this is we had a lot of population growth, and the church grew with the population, but it wasn't growing faster than the population. So the last year that the Christian church actually gained members in terms of relation to the population and increased the percentage of the population it was in was 1868. 1868. That was the last year that there was growth in Christianity in America. Now, over the next 100 years, the population of America exploded, and Christianity was actually in a decline. But sometimes decline looks like this, right? The population is growing faster than Christianity is, but it seems like our churches are growing because they're getting bigger, but they weren't. When 1,000 people come into a community and the church gains 10, it feels like growth, but it's not because 1,000 people came into the community. Well, then what do you do when the population stops growing? Well, that's kind of where we're at now. We're seeing the decline of the last 200 years, especially in the last 50 years. And so here we are, 22% of Christians attend church, and there's a lot made of this. A lot of younger people, for example, are less interested in church these days. They're less interested in corporate worship, in large part because they don't see the church having much effect on their parents' lives. In other words, their parents did not make church a priority, and so it's even less of a priority for them. Going every Christmas and Easter because you feel like you're supposed to is not a motivation for children. When they get older and they make their own decisions, they figure, why would I waste so much energy on something that was never that important to you to begin with? And so for a lot of Christians, they identify worship as something they do on their own. And I want to mention something important here, and that's that they're right, but they're missing something. So let me define this. What I mean is when people say, well, I can worship by the river, or I can worship in my chair with my Bible at home, or I can worship in a deer stand, or I can worship on the highway, or wherever they feel a connection to God. And, you know, the truth is they're absolutely right. I bet every one of you has an experience that you could tell me about how you felt the presence of God in some solitary moment. It's important. In fact, it's healthy to be alone with God. Jesus worshiped alone with God by himself all the time. But corporate worship, worship together with other people, is still an essential component of our faith. It's part of that foundation. It's part of that buildup that everything else is based upon because it makes our faith not just about us. All these other types of worship should happen every single day. And however often we can make it, once a week, once a month, whatever, worshiping together with others helps us to build that foundation. Now, prayer, it turns out, is a little bit better. It turns out that about half of American Christians pray every day. I would still hope that that number was a lot higher, but it's at least better than 20%, right? So about half of American Christians pray. But it turns out that 81% of those who pray do not pray for other people. In other words, when they've been asked in these surveys, and Pew Research, who does these surveys, these are sample sizes of several thousand people. These aren't little sample sizes. So they send these out to thousands of people. They say, who do you pray for? 81% of them are only checking me. They're not checking my family, my church, my community. So we're praying better than we're going to church, but we're only praying for ourselves. Here, another asterisk is needed, right? Another caveat that God wants us to pray for ourselves. God wants us to pray for what's going on in our own lives, and we shouldn't feel selfish or feel unworthy because we pray for ourselves. But again, there has to be another layer on top of that. And that other layer is when prayer is also not just about us. I think that's the challenge that the American church has been dealing with, is that we in America have this identity of how great we are ourselves, how much we can accomplish on our own. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a good thing that we care so much about individual accomplishments. We care so much about what we can do on our own, how hard we can work to be successful. Some of the most amazing things about this country were brought out by people who believed they themselves could do something nobody else has ever done before. But the thing is, the Christian church is not supposed to look like the culture that it surrounds. The Christian church is supposed to be about looking at what we can do together, sharing our faith with one another. Worship and prayer also serve another purpose beyond just helping us remember that we're not alone in this world. They also serve as a spiritual thermometer. If we're not quite sure how we're doing spiritually, we can examine our patterns of worship and prayer and have an idea about where we are. Are we a part of that 80% that doesn't go to church? No, because you're here. Are we a part of that 50% that doesn't pray? Maybe. Are we a part of that 80% who can't remember the last time we prayed for someone other than ourselves? Maybe. Right? I don't know if any of you got that Pew Research form in the mail, but presumably if 80% of Christians feel that way, then that's a few of you. The thing is, I don't think these things are conscious decisions. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to be a selfish Christian. I'm going to make the Christian faith all about me and what God does for me and absolutely nothing else. It's a little slower than that. It fades in when we start to sacrifice our spiritual lives for the sake of everything else happening in our world, for the sake of how busy we are, for the sake of how overextended we are, for the sake of our families, for the sake of our jobs, for the sake of our communities. We start to chip away until the only thing left is the self-centered part of our faith. And again, to be very, very clear, God wants you to pray for yourself. God wants you to find those awesome opportunities to worship alone. They're just not the whole thing, right? You're missing something. You're missing something really incredible and beautiful if you're not taking time to worship with others, whatever that means or looks like in your life, and if you're not taking time to pray for others. Because those practices build a foundation of looking at the world not just through how it affects you, but how it affects others as well. Looking at the world to see how the world impacts the people around you and what their story can say about what God is doing in your life. As I think about those stats, I can't help but think about our me-first culture, how we reject any semblance of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. Lent is the ultimate time of selflessness. Lent is an incredible time for us to examine these things, not to sit back and wallow in the dust and say, oh, woe is me, I'm a terrible person, I guess unless God really calls you that way, but sometimes Lent is an incredible place to just sit back and say, are there elements of my faith journey that I could be doing a little better? Are there parts of my spiritual walk that I could be stepping on a little more strongly? Lent is a great time for that because Lent is a time to stop and slow down and examine what's going on in our life. Lent is really the most incredible time of year to ask God about the changes that need to be made in your life. It's spring, friends. New things are going to be happening. There's going to be brand new birds tweeting in the air that have never tweeted in the air before. Brand new buds and flowers that have never bloomed before. Lent, this springtime, is the time that God wants you to see that, in awe of that, worship in that newness around you as a reminder that God may be calling for some newness in your life as well. That God may be calling for you to step back and say, what are the aspects of my faith, of my spiritual journey, of my walk, that might need to be just a little bit different than they've been before? Because if we really were honest with ourselves, we may take a step back and realize that we're not super comfortable with where our faith has gotten. We're not super proud of our spiritual thermometers and what they're reading. My prayer for us as we begin this season of Lent is that we would open our hearts and our minds to a faith that recognizes it's not about me, that views worship and prayer through the lens of how it deepens our faith with God and our love for our neighbor instead of what's in it for me, and that doesn't dismiss the contributions of others in our faith, our Christian faith, which was meant from the very beginning to be done together and not alone. Amen.